The effectual fervent prayer. It is not just enough to learn about prayer. We must know how to pray for results. And a lot of people do not pray because they do not know how to pray for results. I had to learn myself and had to learn the hard way because there just wasn't anyone that could teach that or was teaching that. We must pray with persistence and conviction, but with thanksgiving. You don't pray just to beg for something. You pray with an attitude of gratitude for all the things He's already done. You see, we can pray through demonic resistance, depression, oppression, and fear and doubt. And very often, that's why I have to pray a good while, is to break through all the devil's resistance and all of his attack upon me to keep me from praying. This sermon is a partial summary of the first four sermons on prayer, but it can be used as a pattern for winning our battles in prayer. If we'll take these scriptures and pray through these, it makes prayer exciting and interesting. I do not pray without scripture. I read scripture and meditate on scripture and quote scripture probably over half of my prayer time, because the word is God speaking to me, and when I'm praying, that's me speaking to God. It's more important for God to be speaking to me than it is for me to be speaking to God. Can you say amen on that one? If we want results in prayer, we must pray the effectual fervent prayer with perseverance. In Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all of their hearts. When we seek the Lord with all of our heart, it says we're blessed. Why are we blessed? Because God answers prayer. And He shows up with His mighty power to heal us and restore us while we're in prayer. If I'm blessed when I seek Him, I am blessed when I seek Him with all my heart. That's why I try to pray 3 hours a day. It's the most important thing I do. Very often, in the middle of the night, I'm praying, and the devil says, well, you need to get your rest. I said, well, I'd rather pray than sleep. And you have to have that attitude. What's important here? I mean, I can show up for work and blow everything if I'm not prayed up. Yay. So I want to get prayed up before I leave the house. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And I know the devil tells you, well, God doesn't hear a thing you say. You're just wasting your time. But that is a word from God. I will listen to you. Amen. But you got to give Him something to listen to. You need to spend some time talking to Him. You see, we can find the Lord by seeking for Him with all our hearts. How much effort do you really put into seeking God? 30 seconds, minute, 2 minutes? Well, I don't feel like it's doing any good, so I'm just going to quit. Well, it's never going to work if that's the way you do it. You got to pray for results. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is not 13 seconds. Or 30 seconds, you know. You will ask me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Well, it seems like God has just moved. Well, maybe you need to really spend a little more time just seeking God. As I just said, every time I seek God, the devil shows up with all his depression, oppression, fear, doubt, all kind of stuff to try to shut me down, and I've learned just to persist right through it. You've got to learn how to pray for results. You see, we can find the Lord by seeking for Him with all our hearts. And He will listen to us and give us solutions to our problems. These business people here that's been so successful, it's because they pray over every problem, over every issue, every threat that comes against them, and God shows them how to deal with it. And that's the way I pastor this church. I don't do anything until I hear from God. Matthew 26, verse 40, and He came to His disciples and found them sleeping. Now, if He comes to us in our prayer time, will He find us sleeping? Or do we even have a prayer time? Well, these guys went to sleep on Him, and He wasn't too thrilled about it. And He came to the disciples, Matthew 26, 40, and He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Can you keep watch with him for 1 hour? You see, he's talking about praying because this is what he was doing. Could you not pray with me 1 hour? He's definitely talking about prayer. Look at the next verse, verse 41. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. What happened after this? They entered into temptation and now deserted the Lord. If you want to be strong and be able to resist temptation, you have got to have a prayer life. Why do so many Christians get in trouble? I believe it's because they're not praying to a big degree. Amen. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's hard to blame Christians because most preachers don't even know how to do it themselves. And they don't even preach on it very often. Well, go pray. Yeah. But the disciples thought it was important, so they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And a lot of what I preach on prayer is what he taught his disciples about prayer. Keep watching and praying. Now, see, that's a part of what he taught. He didn't just pray 30 seconds and quit. Keep praying and keep watching and praying. You know, if you're paying attention, you can see what you need to pray for. You can see the devil, the Lord, Holy Spirit will show you threats and things that's coming against you, and you can pray it through. Get victory. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, I'm strong. I can handle anything. Well, Jesus said that's not true. He says your flesh is weak, and if you do not pray, you're going to wind up in trouble. I'm just reading the Bible. The devil hates this. Jesus says we need to pray because our flesh is weak. And because it mentions 1 hour, I believe we should pray at least 1 hour a day. You may have to break it up into sections, but whatever it takes, get it in, and your day will be better and your life will be better. Amen. If that's not true, none of these scriptures are true. If we do not stay persistent in prayer, we may not be able to endure the difficult things coming into our life. You say, well, I'm doing just fine. But what if you get hit with something really hard? Is it going to knock you in the ditch, or will you be able to stand? You see, we can be stronger, have greater wisdom, and experience greater faith and power through prayer. And when you're praying, that's when God gives me my faith. That's when God quickens scriptures to my heart and produces faith. And so when I get in trouble, I can stand on the faith that the Lord built in my heart while I was praying. Like Matthew 8, 16 and 17, I was fasting and praying. The Lord gave me that scripture. He spoke to me. He says, do you believe I'm still here? I said, yes. Do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? Yes. Do you believe I'm still here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? No. But then I saw it. Yes, I do. That totally changed my world. I probably wouldn't have been able to preach half the Sundays over these years if God hadn't given me that revelation on healing, that Jesus Christ is present right here, right now, to take my infirmities and my sicknesses so I can preach or do whatever God's called me to do. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And then it says, with this in view, but we're to be praying all the time with a prayer and petition at all times. And a part of that is praying for each other. That scripture doesn't mean that's the only thing we are to do is pray for each other. But if we pray, part of that is praying for one another. You see, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. We are to be constantly praying. Pray without ceasing. So that's not possible. It is possible if you drive in Knoxville traffic. You better not be driving out there and not be praying. It may be, oh, God, hallelujah, help, oh, Lord. Bless that nut, Lord. He about run over me. But, I mean, an attitude of prayer will change everything. If we pray this way, it could take an hour or more. Sometimes we face depression, oppression, fear, doubt, and belief. And during prayer, so we have to pray and pray through that. You can't do that very quickly sometimes. You just got to pray until you get to victory. Amen. Now look at Daniel. He fasted and prayed 21 days. And at the end of that time, an angel finally showed up. Well, where you been? I've been praying and fasting for 21 days. Where you been? He said, I've been caught up in spiritual warfare. The demonic prince of Persia hindered me. And God had to send a mighty archangel to help me get free. And you stayed faithful in prayer and fasting for 21 days, and so here I am. Amen. Amen. See, that's why we continue to pray until we reach peace. As I mentioned, it usually takes me about an hour to reach a state of peace. If I'm really facing something really big, big ugly demon, I pray until I get peace that God's going to take care of it. Amen. You remember when I lost my phone? I kept praying until God said to me, I've got that phone. And when he said, I said, well, where is it? And then he put it in my heart where to go. He said, go back over and drive. This is just, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Go back over and drive through that parking lot. And I went back over there. I drove through the parking lot. Dot was with me. Didn't see a phone anywhere. And when God tells you to do something, they'll do it. Will you see it or not? Okay. And so I went in to talk to the folks. And Dot is out there looking around the parking lot. And somebody had found, it was raining when I was jogging across the parking lot because it was raining coming out of the health club. My phone bounced off and I didn't know it. Somebody found that phone and put it against a tree. But so the rain wouldn't hit it directly. Amen. Protected from the rain. And Dottie found it and brought it to me. But first of all, prayer. And I was really upset, man. I had all your phone numbers and everything in there, you know, and messages. And I was gone. But God says, I got it. I got it propped up against a tree over here. Okay. Now, I don't say you think, well, this is nuts. You think what you want to think. But it's working for me. Amen. Amen. Prayer can be difficult because Satan fights it. Jesus said, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. I've preached a lot on this, of course. This is the fifth time, but we have got to learn to pray for results. You don't quit until you get an answer. You don't quit until you get something. You get a word, get a scripture, something. Jesus said, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Barry didn't say that. Pastor Barry didn't say that. The Son of God said that. Keep on asking, it'll be given you. Prayer, pray until you have a witness inside that you're going to say, I got it, it's okay, I got a peace about it, assurance, God's taking care of it, God has heard me. Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and it will be given you. Now, how many know I did not say that? I read it, okay. Keep on asking, and if this Amplified Bible is translated by a woman, if you want something done right, you get a woman, okay. I figured the ladies would at least say amen, but they didn't. Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking. And that's exactly what the Greek means. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be open to you. Do you see a progression there? Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Verse and the door will be open to you, verse 8, for everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. So the key is asking, keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. For what man is there of you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? If your children ask for something they need, are you going to give it to them? If it's in your ability, within your ability, are you sure you are? And Jesus really asked, do you think you're a better daddy than your heavenly daddy? Do you think you're a better father or better mother than your heavenly father? And this is not me, this is Jesus. For what man is there of you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Ask for bread, Jesus will give you bread and not a stone. Or if you ask for a fish, we'll hand him a serpent. If your son or daughter asks for a fish, they want to go to Captain D's. Are you going to hand them a snake? Well, snake's not all bad. Bob Rogers caught a bunch of rattlesnakes in Arkansas, and his mother cooked them. And when I was little, and rattlesnake is good. Can you say amen? But in this case, Jesus said he will give you a fish and not a snake. Now, why is it Jesus is talking like this in the first place? It's because he knows that we really down deep don't believe in prayer. He says, now think about it. If you give your children good things, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to you that ask? If you then, evil as you are, carnal human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who keep on asking him? Maybe you know the mafia bosses give their kids good things. If we continue to pray and not give up, he will give good things to those who keep on asking. And he said, Jesus said, much more. God told me to preach on the radio in 1980. How many know if God tells you to do something, he's going to make it happen? Really and truly, this church is pretty much built on the radio ministry. Many of you came to this church because of radio, and many of you have come in recent times because of radio. And it's because of my eloquent voice. Why are you laughing? I know why. God told me to preach on the radio in 1980. 2002, the station I was on didn't like the power of God and kicked me off. They didn't want me preaching on healing, deliverance, and miracles. They didn't believe it. It was owned by a fundamental Baptist, and he didn't like what I was preaching, so they kicked me off. And of course, they lied to me and said, well, we got to make changes. They didn't tell me the real reason, but I knew the real reason. Okay. And then I found out later that the owner actually said that. So I wasn't discouraged because I know God told me to preach on the radio. So I began to pray. And I mean, I prayed seriously. And God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to buy your own radio station. I said, you got to be kidding me. They don't have those things on sale every day. They're hard to find. Almost impossible to buy a radio station, even right now. People say with all the technology, radio was going to disappear. Radio's better now than it's ever been. It's bigger now than it's ever been. And so God has his hand on radio. And if you don't like radio, shame on you. God likes it. Then he gave me a word after he told me to buy it, and I don't do anything until I get a word. He says, I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And radio is a major part of this church and this ministry. And this is a great miracle that enables us to keep doing what God called us to do. The Lord showed us a station, and money just came from everywhere. I don't even know where it all came from. And we were able to buy that station. And that first one was 1240. You can still get 1240 during the day. Reaches the whole county perfectly almost. And if you're close to the tower, reasonably close to the tower, it sounds better than some of the FMs. Amen. And the engineer says, the sweetest little AM they've ever had around here. And we got it. And then the Lord gave us 927 a few years later out in Kingston. And it covers all of West Knoxville, all the way to Cleveland and to Clinton and Farragut and all the way to Crossville. And then we have 94.7 downtown that covers all of downtown. We're a little weak on the east side of town, but everywhere else we cover really fantastic. And a lot of people still come into this church because of the radio. The point is, this is another miracle that God worked to fulfill the ministry of this station, this church. And guess what? No one can kick me off now. Ha! The whole summer of 1980, Don and I prayed for direction concerning Knoxville. I just want to show you the power of prayer. Driving back to Lexington from Knoxville one day, after all those prayers, the Lord gave me this scripture. 1 John 5:14, I was driving back to Lexington, and I had bought a pack verses on cards in Gatlinburg a few months before, and they were put together by Billy Graham. Let me know, Billy Graham put them together good. And I just reached in the stack and pulled out one, and this is what it said. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that we have in Him, if we ask anything. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I said, but I don't know Your will. How can I ask for Your will? And then I heard in my spirit, and looking back on, I really believe it was God. He said, you know it's My will for you to have My will. Now ask for My will concerning Knoxville. I said, okay, Lord, I ask for Your will concerning. Now, why did I have to pray that? God has somehow connected us to Him and to His will and to success through prayer. And you'll either do it or you're going to get left behind. You're not going to be blessed the way you want to be because He's ordained prayer. And why didn't He just give me His will? No, He says you got to ask for it. Y'all paying attention? That's why I believe in it so much. He said, you know it's My will for you to have My will, so ask for it. And I said, okay, Lord, I ask You for Your will concerning Knoxville. And when I said that, of course, the rest of that scripture says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. And I knew it was His will for me to have His will for Knoxville, so I knew I had it. And when I said, I know I got it, all of a sudden the power of God hit me in that car. And I'm sure that car was bouncing down the expressway. And I knew within me I had the will of God, but I still didn't know exactly what it was. I didn't have the details, but I knew I had it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. You can pray to get that dose of revelation in you that you've got the victory. You may not even know exactly what it is. I knew in my spirit that I had my phone. I just didn't know it was under a tree in a parking lot. But God knew exactly where it was. So if we'll pray, God has the ability to get us where we need to be. And when I got back to Lexington and tried to preach, I realized God had reprogrammed me for Knoxville. And it's like I lost the rapport with the people, and I knew then that God had really called Mendota to come here and start this church. Prayer is the key to this church. Luke chapter 8, and it's the key to anything and everything. Luke 18, verse 1, then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now listen, I got a little different point here. The parable is about a widow who went to the unjust judge and asked for justice. Now, this is a story that Jesus told to illustrate how important it is to pray and not quit, not give up. This lady kept going to the judge, said, Judge, give me justice. I've been cheated and robbed. I'm just a widow lady. I need Your help. The judge said no at first, but she wouldn't quit coming. She kept coming. Now, this is Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray, not give up. So Jesus taught them exactly what I'm teaching you today. Well, I don't have time to pray. Make time. Priority. Make it a priority. And will not God bring about justice? Let me read that. Go back and start over just a little bit. The judge said no at first. When the judge realized she was going to wire him out with her coming, He gave her justice. He says, I'm not afraid of her. I'm not afraid of man. I'm not afraid of God. But she's going to wear me out if I don't give her what she's asking for. Then Jesus said, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones and cry out to Him day who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. The purpose of this parable was to teach us to pray and not get discouraged. His example was justice. And when I've preached on the past, I make it sound like He's talking only about justice. No, He's talking about how to get any and every prayer answered. Jesus told them this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. You remember the story, the other parable, when He said, this guy went next door and asked for bread. He said, hey, neighbor, I have a friend came in at 2 a.m., and I don't have any bread. He's hungry. I need some bread. loaned me some bread. And the guy says, go away. My kids are in bed. I don't want to wake them up. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Jesus said, and will not go. And he said, I say to you, though he'll not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he'll rise and give him as many as he needs. This is the same thing. He said, if you want your prayers answered, you have to know how to pray through to results. And that takes persistence. Because the devil's doing everything he can with his fiery darts to discourage you and shut you down. See, he used justice as an example, but his point is that if we pray out, cry out to him nonstop until we get something, God will answer. You see, we resigned from our church in Lexington once I knew it was God, once Dottie knew it was God, once we both knew it was God. We resigned from our church in Lexington and moved to Knoxville. And everything just fell apart. And that's, oh, you've made a fool out of yourself. You gave up a good church, about 300 people, and had a good salary, just had a brand new house, and you have blown it. And I got all upset, fell apart. I woke up in the middle of the night with a demonic spirit of fear all over me. I prayed until that thing broke. I'm not going to all the details because I got other things I want to get to, but God broke that thing off of me. I went back to bed with peace. Same thing I've been preaching the whole time so far in this sermon. You pray through to peace. Amen. I got peace. Still didn't have any way to make a living. Still didn't have a church. Still didn't have a house. Didn't have anything. But I had peace. Had assurance and also revelation. If I get that, I can make it. Then I had peace inside from God. I said to Dottie the next morning, I said, let's go see what God is going to do. We drove by the radio station, and they, even though I didn't have any money, didn't have a way to pay them, they signed me up for a radio broadcast for a year. First thing we did was radio. And the devil tried to shut me down. Can you say amen? And I need a billionaire to help us buy one of these 100-watt stations. Anybody here would like to buy one? They're not for sale, but if you got the money, we'll pray it in. Okay, no volunteers. After that, I drove by the Ramada Inn. I've been to every hotel, every place you can think of trying to rent a place to have a church, and no, I couldn't find any place except some of the hotels wanted $350 per service, $700 a day. And I said, there's no way. So this day, I drove by the Ramada Inn, walked in, talked to the sales manager, been there before, but she wasn't there. And I talked to her. She rented me a room that we had up to 225 people in at one time for $35 all day. 10% of what everybody else wanted. Then we drove by this house that was for sale. And how many know once you quit your job, you can't borrow money? So this house, the owner happened to have an FHA loan, which I was able to assume, but I didn't have the equity that he needed. And so I had some money put down because I was selling my house in Lexington, but then I needed another $6,000. And I said, would you take that second mortgage for me? He said, yes, I will. I'll charge you $50 a month. And when he got home, they live right over here in Belmont West. I drove over there to get the key. And his wife said, are you crazy? Said, that $50 don't even cover the interest. Said, why did you do that? He said, I don't know. I just felt like I need to help that young guy. Amen. Then I asked him, I said, can I put a telephone in this house? He said, well, I guess you can. You just bought it. So I called the telephone company, and I said, can I get a telephone? Now, I know most of you don't even know what this is. Yellow pages. You couldn't have a church back then if you weren't in the yellow pages. That's where everybody found you. And so I said, I need a phone listed next to your yellow pages. I said, well, you have to have the phone. Said, and the deadline is today at 4 o'clock. It was 3 o'clock. He says, you have to get here and get a contract on a telephone today before 4 o'clock. And if you do, it'll be in next year's yellow pages. So we jumped in our car. We were over off of Matlock and that area off of Western Avenue. We flew straight down, went to the, I didn't even know where it was. How many know they didn't have GPSs in 1980? But I found the thing, ran in, got my phone, got a list in Yellow Pages, and it hit 4 o'clock. In one day, after I prayed through and got past all the depression, in one day, the Lord worked everything out. Number one radio station, place to have church, place to live, and a telephone listed in next year's Yellow Pages, which meant people could find our church. Can you say praise the Lord one more time? Praise the Lord one more time. Let's all stand.